Happy Friday, everyone. You've tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call once again. It is November 8th, 2019, and I'm your host, Brandon Mollet, flying solo today. Everybody's, I think, reeling from the conference and busy schedules going on, so just me today with you guys, but so thrilled to be back. I haven't been on in about 3 weeks now with the FDN conference and different things with scheduling, so good to be back on. We'll be bringing you some awesome shows here coming up, rounding out the year, and then next beginning of next year, we'll be changing the format up a little bit in some ways, bringing you guys some things we used to do, and hopefully some new things as well. So, again, look forward to being with you guys most every single week. This is a live call, so if you want to call in and ask a question, make a comment. I'm going to talk quite a bit in the beginning here, hopefully, about the FDN conference that just wrapped up, let you guys know what you missed, and also some things you need to know about how to still enjoy and take in that conference as much as you can, even if you weren't able to make it. But if you want to call in and ask a question, make a comment, just say hello. That number to do that is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. And just hit 1 on the keypad. I'll know you want to come on. I'll bring you on, and we'll talk for a little bit. That'd be great. All right. Well, I've got some graduates I'm going to read off probably to start with here, really, because we've had, I know last week we didn't get to read them, I think even the week before maybe not, and the week before that. So just to make sure we have everybody covered, everybody gets recognized like we like to do, I'm going to read off graduate names for the last 3 weeks. So it's about 12 or 13 in total, which is tremendous. So, I'm sure there'll be some coming up here for next week, too. I actually got, I think, one this afternoon that we get to go through. So if you haven't made your way to that verbal final yet, just keep going. We have a good time with that. It's a final role play you get to do with me, and I get to role play the client for you. Nice format to it, a little bit different than what you've experienced, but you'll be prepared for it. We make sure of that. And you get to complete that with me, and then go on to your postgraduate interview with Reed, talk to the man himself, and that wraps up the certification, and you're off to the races with helping folks and being part of the community and where all that leads to. So, graduate-wise, I've got several to talk about here. All right, so here we go. This is from week ending October 25th here. So I had 5 that week. That was Lindell Stonick from California. Ryan Johnston, he's over in Thailand, American living in Thailand. Julie Decker, she's from Wisconsin. Linda Hackett-Jones, and she's from Australia. And then Monica Heleniak, I'm sorry. I was trying to practice that, Monica. Monica Heleniak, and she's from New York. So those are 5 from week ending October 25th. And then week ending the 1st of November is Daniel Bushnell, living in Japan, American living in Japan. Damian Zielinski from Canada. Sarah Barnett, she's from Michigan. And Elizabeth Gaines from Texas. And then free grads ending this week here. So I've got Taylor Anderson, she's from Arizona. And then Donna Simonetti Rosera, she's from Oregon. And finally, taking care of the lead here at the end is Tony Taylor from the UK. So, guys, we're spread all over the country, all over the world. It's just tremendous, guys. So congratulations. Great job. Proud of you guys. And that's quite a mix. Very diverse backgrounds and plans for using the certification. It's pretty neat to go on through, listen to those names, listen to those stories. So you'll see them around, I'm sure, on AFTNP activities within our community and doing awesome work. So, again, congratulations. Great work on that. Okay. Well, I wanted to mention just to talk a few things about the conference, right? So we just wrapped that up last week. If you did not go to it, I would say definitely you totally missed out. And I don't really apologize for saying that, and I've got several reasons why I want to talk about this. It's not just an advertisement for you guys to purchase the recordings or to go next year because, the conference isn't our big income draw for the year, right? So it takes a lot of money and a lot of effort to put on a conference like this. So the reason behind that is for us to be able to get together and for it to help you and your business and what you're doing. And I'd say this year for sure it was one of the best. It's our second one, of course, but most amazing one. I think we really I feel like, for me, the speakers that were chosen and the people that put on workshops and everything that was there, we really have a good feel, I think partially, in big part actually, to AFDMP, knowing our people, being more in touch with our community than we ever have been, thanks to technology and the efforts of Brendan and everybody involved with AFDMP. I think we have a real good feel for what you want, what you guys need. And so during the conference, we usually have two speakers going on at all times. When they're in those speaker slots. And so you really can't listen to everybody, so you have to pick and choose who you're going to listen to. And the ones I listened to, every single one of those speakers just totally hit the spot for me. If it was, something as far as health goes, lab testing, that the science side of things, mindset, aspects of mindset and how you think about your business, how your clients think, and then just straight up business and marketing, and the fun stuff involved in being a small business owner and being an entrepreneur. I was just amazed at the lineup. And the people that I didn't get to hear, I heard wonderful things about them too. So I just feel like we totally hit the mark when it came to the people. And I know some of that was coming from you guys. We asked for suggestions of who you want to hear. And, boy, they did not just disappoint. I was just so impressed. So I came away with lots of ideas and practical tips and shifts in mindset. So I think I mentioned this before. Leading up to the conference there, if you feel like you're lagging behind in some way, if you feel you're just not there as far as your practice goes, even as, like I said, as a trainee, graduate, you just don't know what that next step is for you. Wherever you're at in this whole process, we had multiple people sign up for the course during the conference. Guys, we welcome to the course, look forward to working with you and connecting with you that way and teaching you and getting to know you. Multiple people connected were in the course. If you're working through the course, had live trainees there as well. They have their place where they're at in this whole process. And then, of course, as you're graduated, where are you at in your business? Are you wanting to take it to another level? Wherever you're at, the weekend is one of the best things that you can go to get you to that next level. So if that's a stress for you, if you're just on a regular basis not happy with where you're at with your business, and we're all going to have some level of discontentment, right? We shouldn't be totally satisfied. Reed talked about with that Thomas Edison quote about not being totally satisfied, but it can become a huge stress. So if that's a stress for you, a conference like that can get you to that next level, and it's worth it. It's an investment in your business. I saw it as an investment in my business. I paid money to go. It was worth that to me. I know it's going to pay off a hundredfold. I know it will over time. So it is investment in your business. So if you're stuck and can't seem to move forward, coming to a conference like that, there's an energy, there is a spirit there, it's whatever you need you seem to get when you come to a conference like that and do things like that. So really encourage you, if you didn't make it, for sure we have the recordings that should be available now. Of course, we do always do a discount on the beginning of those. The recordings are invaluable, absolutely invaluable. You could just pick the tips from two speakers there, incorporate those into your business, and it would just pay for itself again, multifold there. So check out the recordings and also make plans to be with us next year. We're going to do it again. So it'll be our third conference. It'll be a little earlier in October to avoid Halloween weekend. A little earlier in October, details coming forth on that, but it's definitely, I feel like it's almost critical for you to make it for a lot of people. I think it's just that powerful. I think I've had people come on. If you're welcome to come on, if you went to the conference and you want to say something about it, back me up on what I'm saying here, love to have that today on the call too. So everybody I think there got what they needed. There were a lot of aha moments and a lot of cool things to learn. You kind of hit the parts of your brain that gets excited about learning and how we like to nerd out on these things. But there's also a lot of emotional components here the weekend too, and that happens, right? So we're all growing, we're all working through some things, and so some emotions come out and some things happen that are just unexpected, and that's what happens when you get together like that. And it's kind of a unique place. So definitely next year, make plans to do that, whatever you can, be there. I'm sure it's going to be, this year was, I think, a little even better than last year. We're a little bit better as far as figuring this thing out, running these events, so everything went so super smooth. Have to give Reed and Jen and the whole staff there a lot of credit for what went on, what happened, atmosphere that we set up. Of course, thank you our speakers, and as well as vendors, too. So that's another thing I want to mention as well. It's really neat to be able to sit down with the labs, right? So we run these labs, and we have some educational moments from them many times. But to actually sit down, you know, face-to-face, ask some questions, talk to some folks that you haven't got to talk to yet with the lab side of things. Get to know the people behind it. You know, a lot of times the CEOs and owners and stuff will be there many times at conferences like this. So get to know the heart behind a lab, what's coming. That's important, I think, just that familiarity. Reed has always been big about relationships, right? That's just the kind of guy he is. So that's relationships with graduates and trainees, but also with different integral business partners, right? So FDN, we rely on labs, right? Lab companies and different supplement companies and you guys for information about how to make the course better and experts that come in. So building relationships with people is really key. So that's one way to do that, is to see these people face-to-face, maybe share a meal. That's an even more powerful thing to get to do. So talking with lab companies are cool. And also, of course, the supplementation, right, supplement companies. There's been a few lines that I got introduced to that I had, you know, sort of heard some good things about, but wasn't really sure about them. And, you know, you get to sit there and talk and listen to these folks and learn so much and have some other tools that you can pull from. So speakers, vendors, big part of that. Those vendors are there. Those are our strategic partners, really, is what they are. They're not just vendors that want your business. They've partnered up with us because they believe in what we do. I feel like FDN is getting, as we grow, more and more recognition for the powerful force that we are, and you guys are, that make up that our tribe, our community. I'm actually looking back through the booklet from the weekend there and just kind of reviewing in my mind some of the speakers. They're all tremendous. So definitely get the recordings. That is an absolutely no-brainer. You want to grab the recordings as soon as you can, start to listen through those. Take notes. I took some notes, but after a while I was like, wow, there's just so much here. I'm glad I have the recordings to listen to and go back. So all tremendous. And a lot of FDN practitioners spoke, which is so gratifying to see. You know, it's people either start with the course with no background and grow, and then all of a sudden they have something to share, or they come into the course, right? A lot of you guys have with your different backgrounds, and you can share those backgrounds as how it pertains to FDN. So a lot of our own were featured as speakers, which was really great. And a lot of folks, I looked at the name, I said, I have no idea who that person is. And that was cool, too, because you kind of know our typical educators that are out there on the circuit. You hear them at summits and different conferences. But to see people that I'd not known before, that was the most interesting thing to me. And those people brought it. It was really tremendous. So let's see. Yeah, and the lab sponsors, and then, you know, a lot of these labs and supplement companies, that specials that go on with the show, that's a tremendous thing there. Nice that they do that for us, you know, including like BioHealth with the release of the 401 EXP expanded version. We had educator on from BioHealth a few weeks ago talking about that. So check your announcements. Lots of stuff going on there on Facebook. Check your email, FDN Connect. Make sure you're up on everything you can stand to benefit from the conference and those recordings. They're tremendous. Let's see. Anything else I wanted to bring up there? Looking through my little packet here still. It's so fun. Good swag bag we always give out. It's tremendous here. Yeah, good stuff. So, I'll wrap up on that. I won't talk any more about the conference, but other than just get the recordings, make sure you go next year. It's going to make a difference in what you do, and that's what the reason is for. It's not a big income source for us at all. It's for you guys. What would help you guys get to that next level, grow the community, grow the mission of FTN? That's what we're about. All right. Well, again, hey, live call. So if you guys want to call in there, it's 347-637-1378. Is the number, and see several of you guys lined up on the switchboard there. So thanks for calling in. If you guys want to ask a question, make a comment, if you went to the conference, hey, you can jump in and say something too. So lines are open there for sure. All right. You might hear me get a drink break here and there because it's just me today. So I can't take that breath. Usually my co-hosts, Brendan or Randy or Tess or Reed, there will come on. So I might take a break here and there. But good stuff. All right. So graduates taken care of. FTN conference covered. So I guess we have time for questions. So I tried to pull some questions that hadn't been on the Facebook page in a few weeks. So trying to pull some questions from there. You know, on this call, we try to answer questions from trainees, from graduates, whatever it is, you know, throw it at us. We're happy to chime in, give you some insight on anything at all. So wide open as far as that goes. All right, well, let's go for some questions then. Let's see what I've got. All right, in no particular order, very random when it comes to questions today. So the first one says, I'm at the point in the course where I need to download and fill out and send back intake forms. How do we do this using Apple-based products, which most of us do these days, and these files are not supported on Apple devices? All right, so pulling from my IT background where I've worked with Apple and Windows machines or PCs, right? So PC is still king, and it's by far more than Apple uses, though, even though I've got a Mac, I enjoy using my Mac. So really what we're looking at here as far as most of our documents go, and if you guys are already in tech land, you can ignore all this whole question, but most of the files we use, they're either going to be a PDF, which can be read on pretty much any machine, and a lot of the files, intake forms we use are PC-based, but they're actually just Office-based. So my best suggestion here is if you're in the course and you have a Mac, go ahead and spend $50, whatever it is. You can find it different prices there, $50 probably or less, and buy Office for Mac, maybe a version 2016. I think that's what I've got on my machine. I don't want to pay the subscription service. I just want the program itself. So buy Office for Mac 2016 is probably your better one to choose there. It should run on your Mac there very nicely. And all the files should open up just fine. Everything, all the formatting stays the same. Everything looks good. You don't have to bring it into Numbers or Pages or Google Docs and things like that. So whenever you import the documents that we use on the intake or for our intake forms, they're not just a standard spreadsheet, a simple one that maybe Numbers could take care of or Google Docs or Google Sheets could take care of. There's a lot of functionality and little things running in the background, conditional formatting, things like that. So that's why those sheets look so cool and are so interactive, and they do things for you, make your job easier, because there's little things running in the background. Those little programs that run in the background there, those don't always translate to those other softwares and online services. So simple thing is just invest $50 or less, get Office for Mac, install it on your computer. It runs just fine. You'll be able to open up any Windows, any Office Word document, Excel document. It even has PowerPoint if you want to do that. So you've got options there. So that's a simple fix. I wouldn't do anything else on that. I wouldn't buy OpenOffice or wouldn't get OpenOffice. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't use Google Sheets, and I wouldn't try to run it through Pages or Numbers. Just going to give you a headache and give you frustration, and there's enough stuff to think about and learn with the course. Just buy that and be done with it. Sometimes, you know, you're worth quite a bit in your time. So if you spend 3 hours messing with a spreadsheet trying to get it right when you can just spend $50 and get Office, I don't think it's a very good trade-off. So keep it simple. Buy the software. All right. Cool. Exhilarating answer, exhilarating question. Maybe they'll get a little more interesting from here, but I know that is a problem for some people. So, hey, I've got a hand raise. Let's go there. All right, hey, 303 area code. Hey, what's your name, 303, and what's your question?
Hey, it's Chris Wilson from Fort Worth, Texas. How you doing?
Hey, Mr. Chris, what's going on with you?
Not a whole lot, just working on my practical one, paperwork, and the exam, filling it out.
Well, that sounds some fun times there.
Yeah, it's just cementing in the information, making sure that I fully understand it. And may I ask a question in relationship to the exam without you having to give an answer, but just pointing the finger in guidance?
Sure. I'll try my best. Go ahead.
Okay. I won't ask the question exactly, but it has to do with inverted ratios. And to my understanding, looking at Module 2 on the 205, So on the slide here, it's slide 46, it says inverted, maybe strong DHEA or very low cortisol, common in client with surgery, polycystic ovarian syndrome, chemo, cancer, inflammation. So what would a test, like when you're looking at the cortisol DHEA ratio, so on this particular slide, it says 9.4 to 1, meaning cortisol dominance here. So for an inversion, would that be a very low cortisol reading, say 1 to a higher DHEA reading? So like a 1 to 5 or a 1 to 10?
Okay, yeah. So the easiest way to do that really is just go ahead and do the division on that. So you're going to take your cortisol on the newer 205, it's not talking about a few years ago, on the new 205, you're going to take your morning cortisol, whatever number that is, divide that by the DHEA that you have there. That's going to give you a number. And so whatever that number is, that's the number that you want to look at to say if it's inverted or not, you know, based on the age and the gender, go down through there. So if it's, you know, higher than the range, then you've got the elevated cortisol to DHEA ratio, which is a very good indication of a catabolic state. You know, if you're within range, that's nice to look at. It's probably a good sign because we have a good balance between cortisol and DHEA. And then the other direction there is when you tend to have lower cortisol and higher DHEA than you expect to see. That's going to put it as an inverted cortisol to DHEA ratio, which is going to be a smaller number. So it's going to light up there in blue. So depending on where you fall, you can say inverted or elevated or within range. You still have to take those in context, though. So sometimes, just like with the lactulose to mannitol ratio on an IP test, so you could have a lactulose range that's out of range. You could have a mannitol that's out of range, but the ratio looks good. So everything has to be taken within context. So it's not your one end-all, be-all marker for determining, evaluating what's going on with the person there. So you want to take it within context, though. And does that help?
Yeah, my curiosity from that question mainly stems on correlation with the client. I know for personally myself, on the 205, when I did my R&R Christie, I'm not supplementing with DHEA, and I was in compensatory borderline exhausted phase on my cortisol rhythm. However, I had extremely high DHEA, and I think they gave me an inverted ratio just because my output in the morning was like 7.9, I believe, and my DHEA was like 15.
Right.
And what would we do in relationship to a person to correlate with their symptoms of, say, fatigue or joint pain or whatever? Like, how would an inverted ratio correlate with a person?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this. It doesn't always. Where there's correlation, you know, jump on that, bring that up there. Where there's not correlation, that's okay, too. You're going to have enough other markers with what you see. Especially if you run all five labs, you should have enough other markers to get a feel to paint that picture for them adequately, and then also for you to be able to make a good interpretation of things. So part of that's that shift between looking at things from a microscopic view where you're sort of honed in on these different numbers and then zooming back out to more of a macro view, this big holistic look at this overall person. So you kind of, when you're evaluating things, you're sort of going back and forth between the two. So it's kind of like you're zooming in, zooming out as you're figuring out what's going on with this person. So yeah, you don't always have clinical correlation. If it's there, go for it. I actually, personally, if I see an inverted to cortisol to DHEA ratio in an R&R with a real client, I may not even bring it up because it is something that is sometimes difficult to explain. It can be a little bit confusing to people what points you're trying to make. And we're trying to have clarity within a session. We don't want to talk over people's heads. And generally, there will be enough other things that paint the picture of a catabolic state or them needing to make some changes and do something different to get a different result that I can skipping over the inverted doesn't hurt me. Because keep in mind with an R&R, when you're looking at, you know, practical there across the desk from somebody else or the chair, you're talking with somebody, you want to have enough education to elicit change or motivation. So educate enough to motivate. Numbers on the test results do that on themselves. So If I give them, you know, four reasons to make a change instead of five, hopefully that one extra one that I didn't bring up won't make or break the situation. So I'm kind of bringing it, you know, away from textbook side of things right now and bringing it into practicality. So that's what I would say.
Yeah,
so
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully, I don't know if that helps you with answering that question, but that's how I look at that ratio there. It's good to look at. It gives you a feel for things going on. But and that's just, yeah, if you've done any of the practicals, right, sometimes there's really glaring things. It's like, wow, okay, this is very obvious, strong correlation. Other lab results will give you, Reed would say, no clue. We might say, hey, it's looking good there. Reed would say, hey, it's just not giving us any kind of clues. There's not a healing opportunity there. And so we move on. And we just work through the process, and it'll get better.
Right. Now, that makes 100% sense. And really, for just my own personal understanding, it was kind of trying to understand how the question was wording, what they were looking for on the exam. And so that just kind of better puts it all into perspective on how you stated that. So thank you. I appreciate it, Brandon.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully that works. Put that answer down. If they take off some points, I'll see what I can do. I'll go to bat for you.
All right, thanks, man.
You'll do fine. There's enough questions there. You can miss different parts of those questions, and everybody's going to do fine. So it's quite a task to do that written final, but like you're saying there, it does really solidify the points there, and you'll use that as a reference in the future. I did for quite a while. It was a really good document to go through, good exercise to complete.
Right, and it makes a good study guide too for preparing everything else as far as the client reviews, practicals, and the verbal final too.
Exactly. Exactly right. So we make sure you know it before you graduate. So good stuff, Chris. So keep up the good work. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Awesome. Yep. All right. Cool. Well, Chris, if you got a follow-up question, I can probably grab you here. I'll go back real quick. Chris, I'm going to unmute you again. If you got a follow-up question, I'm happy to do it. Nobody else has their hand raised. So if you got one, go for it. Otherwise, I'll go back to the list.
All right, yeah. I can always bring up some type of topic to talk about.
Don't make it too off
if that's
the wall.
Okay.
That's fine. Go for it.
Sure. I'd like to talk about H. pylori, and this isn't in relationship to anything in particular on the exam. I've just been reading about it on PubMed and Google Scholar, trying to find information on it. So virulence factors and H. pylori, when we see a lot of people with symptoms coming in with gut, I know that symptoms can be far removed from the causal factors, and they can kind of just point and cascade into the other areas of the body to contribute to the metabolic chaos. When we do run 401Hs or GI maps, and just your personal experience with working with people, how many actually come back positive with H. pylori?
Mm-hmm. Good question. I love that. I love talking about this particular bacteria and the effects there. So people say statistically that, you know, 50% of the population is infected by it. I think that's probably true. Do I see that higher percentage on 401Hs, GI maps? No. I would say probably, I'm going to say 20%. I would say. So I get to look at my own clients, of course, and then the medical director consulting several of those GI maps a week. That's maybe 20% H. pylori is positive. And then a good portion of those looking at the GI map, a good portion of those have virulence factors that are present as well. So I'd say, you know, 20, maybe 25% of folks are dealing with H. pylori.
Does that contribute to other secondary infections? Because I've seen a lot of the detective hours, and so whenever Kendra or Whitney are talking about they've run a GI map and H. pylori comes back, they put the client on an eradication protocol for H. pylori, and then they do a retest 90 days later. Oftentimes they see blastocystis hominis come up. What's the reasoning for other infections like that that were once dormant coming into the picture after eliminating a much bigger bug?
Yes, that phenomenon does occur. Sometimes it's the other way around. because Blastocystis hominis, Deinotemiba fragilis, they both seem to run together with H. pylori really commonly. If I see blasto, I'm going to look at symptoms, and sometimes I'm going to go ahead, and even if it's not showing up there, I may still try to address H. pylori. There's that much of a strong correlation there. That's a stronger correlation typically than the other way around, but you can definitely, because keep in mind with the gut, depending on how long-standing these issues have been, these organisms are pretty crafty. They want to survive. They can hide. Stool tests are great. There's multiple ones that you can run within the medical director program. None of them are perfect. So can they miss things? Yes. Can the GI map miss things? Oh, yes, they can miss things, right? Or so it doesn't miss things in the sense that I should probably amend that or add to that. So the tests don't miss anything. So when you run it through BioHealth, a 401H, all the things that they do to look for those organisms, GI Map, Diagnostic Solutions Laboratory, they are doing a great job combing through that poo and looking for things. So if it's in there, they're probably going to find it. Very good chance we're going to find it. The thing is that did it come through on that particular sample? That is the thing. So part of it is just sometimes it's not showing up in the stool because it's not being, eliminated at that time. That's why a lot of times the people say it might be a good idea to treat or to do your sample around the full moon, right? Because there's the pull supposedly right of the moon on the tides and on the people, have more pregnancies during the full moon. You have women going to labor more often. You have more crazy things going on. The jails are more full. The emergency rooms are more full around the full moon. The moon has an effect on the earth, that's for sure. And same things with organisms. So the time that you take it, so that's where using a biofilm disruptor and potentially trying to take that sample around the full moon would increase your chances of finding things on that test, or at least getting things into that stool sample so the lab can find it. So no test is perfect. And there also are definitely layers to this. I've had many clients that first test, you run the first test, you find a lot of things to work on, you go through the protocol, they're feeling a ton better, you retest, it's looking clear, send them on their merry way, they're doing awesome, right? But several clients where it takes 2, 3, 4 stool tests to get through all the layers and all the issues that person has. I'd say probably stuff coming up on a retest is around 30% or so of people. No matter how good of a protocol that you do, you're going to find something still remaining or something bigger and badder on a retest. Probably about 25-30% of the time still, even with our great protocols and what we do, it's how jacked up people's guts are these days and everything in collectively. So you're going to find some things on retest for sure, and that's okay. You just go through another protocol. You amend it. You tweak it. Maybe use a little different product. You still want to go through that, and that's the reason also for retesting, because we don't go on symptoms. They're our gauge. They're part of our guide for progress. We want a person to feel better. But if we're going to test the first time and we're not going to rely on their symptoms and we're going to ignore the symptoms relatively, more or less, we certainly aren't going to say, oh, well, your symptoms are gone. I guess you're clear. That's for the retesting. So at a minimum, retesting the stool is just if you're doing FDN right, you're running a retest on the stool. People make an argument for some of the other labs sometimes, but a stool test, you've got to know. You've got to know for sure. Otherwise, to come back, we don't do it well enough, the protocol was not as effective as we wanted it to be, or some new things have been uncovered through all those layers and all the deep crevices of the body, or hiding somewhere in some kind of gland or tissue or organ, something like that, and they come back out. And then 6 months later, they're back in the same boat that they were before when they first started working with you. That's not cool for them, for us, for anybody. Nobody wins. So invest that few $100 more and retest that stool sample, that stool, make sure things are clear. I think that's doing the job thoroughly. People are coming to us for results. They're not coming to you because you're the cheapest person on the block or the cheapest way to address their health. Hopefully they're not. If they are, they're barking up the wrong tree, because there's cheaper ways to try to and attempt to address health issues than working with an FDA practitioner. Are there better ways? For most people, I don't think so, right? So doing the job thoroughly, seeing it through, I think is key. So you want to instill that in your clients. Make sure that's talked about in the beginning. That's setting those expectations up. Super long answer, Chris, but I don't know. Is that helpful?
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the conversation. Very good points you pointed out there, and it made me think of another direction. I can rabbit hole about gut bugs all day long to different areas, and it made me think, whenever you see people with these types of bad bugs, do you ever find a pattern or a tendency that they possibly have other issues, say like SIBO or a case with heavy metals, whenever people have those major bugs like H. pylori and blasto?
Yes, yeah, definitely with each organism, there are certain things that it could sort of be pointing towards, or even just an infection that doesn't want to clear. You have to think about it's not just, you know, carpet bombing the gut. We know a lot more now about it. That's why we don't just, you know, say antibiotics are the way to go. You've got lots of other things to factor in. So sometimes it's heavy metal accumulation. That's why they're there. Maybe there's, like I said, SIBO that's going on there. And that takes a little bit slightly different approach. Typically, I don't run a lot of SIBO tests because if you go through the FDM protocols, you work through all five labs in the DRESS protocol, most people that have SIBO symptoms, if you just did a checklist of SIBO and they hit most of those, typically most of those are going to resolve. They're going to be in good shape by the end of that protocol. You don't have to run a SIBO test. You don't have to do a more specialized SIBO protocol. Now, do you want to use aspects of a SIBO protocol? Sure. But do you have to go super, super strict on things and go really hardcore SIBO protocol for most folks? I don't think so. I think maybe if you ran a stool test alone and all you were doing was running a stool test and recommending herbs to clear out an organism, you might have to go. But FTN is so comprehensive. We're hitting so many different areas, especially with the DRESS protocol. I think that's why it works so well. That's why I say about like an HTMA. I get great results on the retest with an HTMA, and people feel really good. It's not because the HTMA is just awesome on its own. It's because I'm doing everything collectively. I'm running an HTMA with the five labs. And so if I ran the HTMA alone and just gave minerals but didn't address anything else, results won't be as good because we know with, just like with the 205 or a Dutch or an HTMA, you're getting inside of where to go, but you're also seeing the effect of the other stressors in the body on those labs. So if you see, you know, high sodium, high potassium on an HTMA, you know you've got some internal stressors that are going on. You know, you see high iron on an HTMA, you probably have some liver things that are going on there. So it points to other areas because that's the beauty of the FDM process. Just hit all the areas well enough, maybe not even comprehensively on every single area, just enough of a multi-pronged approach, that's the best way to heal. I think Paul Check talks about that, so if you're going to, you know, kill a dragon, you want to fight from every single angle, not just go from the front. You want to hit from different angles. That's really the approach with FDN. Address enough of those angles, it's going to be enough of a force to remove those blocking factors and to give the body the tools it needs for that shift to start to occur. You know, it's like turning that big cruise ship or that cargo ship. You're going to slow it down. You're going to make the turn, and you're going to speed back up. So part of that's just sort of trusting, I guess, the overall system, because I've seen it work so many times. I don't have a lack of faith. Not saying you do, Chris, at all, but just trusting in the system that you're getting everything taken care of. Now, I can't remember your original question. I guess maybe it was organisms pointing to different maladies. I'll just go back to H. pylori, though. Is that's one? If it's there, I'm going after it. You know, with everything that I've got that I know to do for that person, because it always is a problem. I've never seen it to be beneficial or help that person ever. So working through that protocol works great. I've had, you know, obviously the digestive aspect of things, but digestion's in tune with, and the gut's in tune with lots of other things going on in the body. So anxiety, depression, insomnia, brain fog, skin issues, headaches, those are all very much known to be connected with H. pylori. So I like to go through that list with people and say, hey, here's the GI aspects of H. pylori, which, oh, hey, look, those line up. But hey, here's a lot of things that you wouldn't think are connected, but, you know, your regular headaches, could it be the H. pylori and the problems that it causes? More motivation to make the change there and to address it, to drink that Motula tea or take that pylori X for 60 days.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you so much. I don't want to take up all the time on the call. So if there's any other people with their hands raised or questions you want to get to, go after it. I don't want to be the lone ranger talking.
I'll give you a little break to I'll give you a little break to think about some more questions. I'll grab one off the list here, and then there's time left. We'll come back together. So I'll put you on mute for now, and then we'll just continue our private conversation in front of a bunch of people. All right, good stuff. So Chris is almost there. How cool. I know he's posted a lot of good questions and calls in quite a bit. We appreciate that. I know I do. All right. Well, I hope you guys are enjoying the call here. You've tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call. And it's November 8th, 2019. And good stuff. Like I said, we're just on the heels of the conference and the wave that comes from that. You know, when you have an event like that, attend something like that, you can just see it. You can feel it. You can see, okay, look at that. The calendars, people are booking in for their sessions, you know. Clients are coming in. We're seeing, you know, increases in statistics for people ordering labs. Those events like that, they just start to catapult you and push you down. We need a little boost and a push every once in a while. All right. Let's see here. Maybe here's another one that sort of, this one pertains to the written final. So I'll see if I can shed a little light on this question and not, you know, answer it for everyone. But person says, I need some guidance with this question on the final exam. I've looked through the group but didn't find anything. So it's talking about discussing the concepts behind the brain-body diagram used by Reed in his lectures. Explain why symptoms don't really matter. Please list the three types of care practiced by FDNs. So brain-body diagram, let me just talk about that. Let me put some thoughts behind that. So the brain-body diagram, I think, is probably one of the very, very best ways to explain how you work. Everything stems from it. Usually any workshop I do, every onboarding call, especially if it's in office, anytime I'm having a conversation where I've got an audience, it's not a quick, you know, 2 or 3 minute conversation, I'm going to show the brain-body diagram and walk through that. It just sets the tone for everything that we do, right? Because within that brain-body diagram, you get to see, okay, this is how everybody's in the same state. Okay, we have stress that comes on the body. That affects the function of the body. When the body malfunctions, we have symptoms. And then when you have symptoms, you've got some choices, right? You can ignore them. You can cover them up with drugs and surgery, even some natural stuff. Or you can think about, well, what caused the malfunction in the first place? So you end up going upstream and saying, well, if I address the stressors, right, that we found hidden stressors and the obvious stressors, if we address those stressors, then that stress on the body will go away or be reduced. It allows the body to function better, and when the body functions better, symptoms go away. It's that simple. So I like it because it tells us kind of where we're at and the choices a person has to when it comes to their health, what they want to do. Also make sure that you agree philosophically, which hopefully most people coming to you do agree philosophically. That's one thing I like to cover during our onboarding call there with trainees, is that make sure they agree philosophically. If you have a lot of disagreement on how to address how a person addresses their health, that person is not going to be a good fit for you. I didn't say maybe. I said they are not, period. You need to cut ties. You need to say they're not a good fit for this. Maybe it's not the right time. Use whatever nice phrase you want to do, but if they don't philosophically agree with what you do, it's going to be an uphill battle all the time. I think you guys can attest to that if you've ever worked with somebody like that. You have to validate every single thing you say. There's no trust there. Trust with the practitioner is a big thing. Now, it doesn't mean they shouldn't research. It doesn't mean you shouldn't give examples and give things for them to read and to back up, but it's most the best results occur and the most satisfaction occurs for you and for the client if you agree philosophically on how to approach health. That doesn't mean we don't do some intelligent allopathy. We don't use a medication here and there to cover up some symptoms, get through a rough time. That's cool, right? We're not anti-doctor. We're not anti-medicine. We're not any of that stuff with an FDN. We just know that judiciously, when do you use that? And is that your end-all, be-all? Oh, look, I've found a combination of high blood pressure medication and a statin drug and diabetes medication that my statin levels or my cholesterol levels are where they need to be, my blood pressure stays where it needs to be, and my blood sugar does as well by taking these three drugs. Is that building health? It's not. Is it cool you found something? Great. But if you don't want to be covering up your symptoms and you truly want to build health and live a long, healthy life, then you can agree with our philosophy and the way we approach health and try to work toward health that way. So I think it's tremendous. I think it's one of the best examples of how to walk through and talk to somebody about what you do. If you have some time, it's got to be quicker than that. You can use other analogies to talk about the work that we do. And most people get root cause. You know, most people don't want to just, I think, the check engine light on your vehicle, right? So you're driving down the road, and the check engine light comes on, or the oil light comes on. Something comes on the dashboard that's alarming, that's red or yellow or something that flashes. You should probably, pull over or evaluate that situation and take it to a mechanic to see what is meant by that light that's lighting up and fix that. Go to the engine and fix whatever that happens to be, sensor, whatever it needs to be, fix it. Get to that root cause of that light, the light goes off, right? So but what medications do and what surgery does, it says, hey, I don't really want to deal with this symptom right now. I want to put some black electrical tape over that check engine light coming up. Yep, I don't see the symptom anymore, but you keep driving down the road, what's going to happen a few miles down the road or a week from now? Maybe you blow the engine. And that's what happens, right? So those little clues, those little headaches and those little aches and pains and this and that's coming up, those are those little check engine lights coming on. You want to ignore those or take a medication or even a natural thing to cover it up, you could be in for a worse fate. Now surgery comes in. Instead of covering up that with electrical tape, you just go and you take some scissors or some cutters and you cut the wire. So there's no chance that light's ever going to light up again because you've cut the wire. You removed that gallbladder. You've removed ovary. You removed appendix. You removed the tonsils. You've removed part of the colon, whatever it happens to be, right? So those analogies, I think people get those, and they're not really too far off from what the situation is. Now, again, there's a time and place for some of those things, but, again, if the person agrees with you philosophically about how you want to address their health, then they're a good match. It's one of the tests that they have to pass. And that's why that onboarding call goes through that, and that's why that brain-body diagram covers that. You get the response. If they're, like, shaking their head, yeah, yeah, exactly, that's it, root cause, yeah, exactly, that's it, I want to go, that's it. They're just you're totally resonating with them. They're super excited. There you go. That's part of the emotion that you have to evoke. You know, it's cool that, logically, this was pretty cool. Kendra talked about this during her call, but when it comes to making a decision, most of that decision is emotion-based. It's not logical-based. There is some logic, yes, involved in our decisions, but ultimately when it comes down to it, emotion has to be excited. Something has to be stimulated there emotionally. I think what she said, that they had people that had brain damage in some of the emotional centers of their brain. They couldn't make decisions. So it shows there's some kind of sort of connection between the emotions and decision-making. Making a call that direction. It's logical, but also it's you've got to touch on the emotional component there. And I think it comes naturally. It's not something that's contrived or manipulated or you have to get really good at it. It just happens. You just start talking about FDN and root cause and their situation, go through those 8 questions, you will elicit an emotional response, guaranteed, right? And so if they think that the problem's big enough, that the cost to remedy that matches that or it's even better, then they'll come on and work with you. Otherwise, they probably won't. All right, all that from their brain-body diagram. I'm not sure how I got there, but it's a good one. So learn that, be able to go through that, even be able to sketch it out real quickly with somebody on a piece of paper if you're sitting there with them. Talk about that. And the 3 types of care they're wondering about there. So I won't quite give the answers there, but I'll say go back to the chiropractic model. That's where FDN was birthed from. And if you go into that brain-body diagram, at the end, Reed talks about sort of the process we go through. You know, what do? It's going to be pretty intensive in the beginning, right? So it's, look, all these labs, all these things, changes this FDN practitioner wants me to make. Chris is having me to change my diet totally and get to bed on time and, you know, get a regular exercise routine, take all these supplements and reduce my stress and journal and meditate and deep breathe and pray and all the stuff that Chris is having me to do. This is a ton of stuff to do. So there's an intense part that is there, right? It's only effort until it becomes routine. I like the Paleo Mom's quote there. I always tell people that. It's becoming a new way of life. Eventually, you're going to get to the point where you have your basic way of living. That is like a maintenance program, right? That's where we're trying to get people to. So correct as much as you can of the malfunction during the 3 months or 6 months or 8 or 9 months, whatever you have with that person in their program. And after that, they've learned what to do. Hopefully, they know the body really well. Reed says, hey, I want to teach them everything I know in 9 months, you know? Once we've talked for 3 months, he says, you know, once you've talked for 3 months, hopefully that's all I can do for you. You know, I've told you what to do. They have to take it from there and continue, hopefully, to do the things that they've learned and really continue to see improvement. Just because you stop working with an FTM practitioner directly on a regular basis doesn't mean you aren't going to continue to feel better and be healthier as you go on, because if that practitioner has done the right thing and done a good job, well, they've taught you a whole lot of education, right, that goes there. So giving you a fish versus teaching you to fish. We should be teaching people how to fish as much as we can. So think through that there. Watch through that video there. I think we've got an old flashback video there from Reed from, oh, I'm going to guess, what, I don't know, 2005 or something. I don't know. Cool old videos that are in the course there. One about bones and hormones, one about the wellness meter, I think one about the brain-body diagram. I think they're all still in there. If not, they're somewhere, or ask me about them. They're really cool to see Reed go through those back in the infancy of FDM. Great videos to go through. Answers will be right in that. So think through that. And really, that is your roadmap. That's why I like to start up with that first with people, because it lays out what we're going to do. It lays out their situation. Here's your malfunctions. Here's what your body's doing. Here's the approach we're going to take. And then here's the process we're going to go through. So I tell them, you know, it's not an open-ended process. It is somewhat, right? It's always going to be that way. But it's not totally open-ended in the sense that, hey, I don't want you to meet with me every week for 3 years. You know, if you're having to meet with me every week for 3 years, I'm probably not doing my job. You know, that's maybe the talk therapy realm. You might need to do that on a regular basis, right? But FTM practitioners, we don't want that to happen. You know, yeah, come back and check in with us every year or two, run some labs, make sure everything's good. But the big, heavy work that you wouldn't need to do in the beginning, that's all done. You teach them, they move on, they tell their friends, you have more referrals, and we are fulfilling the mission and motto of FDN. That's what it's about. So, great diagram to start with. Go through, use it at every one of your lectures. You're talking to somebody. I think it's about the best way to explain it. All right. Well, hey, I've got about 6 minutes left. So, Chris, if you've got a question, I'm going to bring you back on here, and we can round up the call here with you if you've got one for me. Chris, you still there? If you don't, it's okay. All right.
I think I'm here.
Yep, you're here.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've got you.
All right. Okay. I guess this question just pertains to the client hormone check record. So I don't recall watching this video, or if there was a video specifically on this sheet to use, but I know it's mentioned in the exam, and I know it's used when people are taking any of the hormones, obviously in the protocols. Can you go into more detail of this hormone check record sheet in the Excel format?
Yeah.
Or what it's exactly for and kind of how to, I guess, tie it in with
no
our
problem.
90-day protocol sheet?
Sure. Good. So good question. So it really ties in with the whole idea of sequencing and titration, right? So that sheet there, if you guys take a look at that, open that up there. It's really just an Excel spreadsheet that has the different hormones that we recommend, and has places for you to mark how many drops you're taking as you work them in one at a time and work up slowly on those. It has places for you to mark how you're feeling. So it's a way to write down the process of sequence and titration and listening to your body, is what it is. So it's not a document I use for everybody. I find that some people like it to use it, other people don't. Other people, I just say, hey, listen to your body. You know, walk through the idea and the concept of sequencing and titration. So if you're increasing the amounts and you're feeling good or nothing, no change at all, keep going. Work up to the maximum dosage, add another one. If you feel anything negative along the way, stop, hit the pause button, evaluate what you worked in most recently, maybe back it out totally, reduce the dosage, listen to the body. That's what you're doing. Some people, they would rather write it down, have some way to log it, and be real scientific about it, or just it's hard to remember sometimes everything going on with as many supplements as you're doing. People might find it useful. So it is something that I think it's good to send over and say, hey, here's something you can use if you want to. I don't say you've got to turn this into me. I just want to know that person's listening to their body and they're learning to use a sequence and titration method and make sure that they're not doing something that's causing them some negative feeling. And hopefully people understand that concept anyhow. So it's an optional, I think it's an optional document, I feel like. So, yeah, just it's a basic document that covers, reinforces sequence and titration, I would say.
Okay. So just the sequencing and titration, just like any other supplement, it applies the same as it would, but to the hormones, and just like documenting or recording your diet and what you eat and how you feel after you eat it, it's just a specific one for the hormones.
Exactly. Just like the DCR, diet check record, same thing. Put in what you eat, mark how you're feeling. I use the DCR more than I do the hormone check record, I'll say that, because people forget what they ate and how they felt. So I do use that one often, ask people to evaluate what their diet's like, the changes they're making, how they're feeling. That's a super handy one. That one's used way more. But, yeah, just a document to do that. And you could add if you wanted to. It doesn't have to be it could be a supplement check record. If you wanted to add some more rows to that, put their other supplements in there and have them mark as they're working those in. If a person's bent that way, they want to do that, that's cool. No? You could use it that way also. All those Excel docs are editable. They're open. You can add to, take away if you want to. So we give you options there.
Okay. When you're speaking about diet, when you're offering up a specific diet for your clients when addressing the D in dress, is there any particular diet that you lean toward more than another without a specific condition on a person? So I know certain people like to use the Mark Sisson Primal Blueprint, the more ancestral eating. Obviously, we tell folks to, hey, lay off the grain, the gluten, soy, dairy, alcohol, and sugar. But is there anything that you kind of hone in on more specifically for people?
No, everybody's a little bit different, right? So I always do metabolic typing and MRT. So those are laying some sort of foundation there. Their own observation is going to be important. I lay down just basic principles for food, like what is a nutrient-dense food? What is a whole food? Be really aware of macronutrients ratios as you're eating. Those are the biggest things, I think. And some sort of elimination diet. So if you can't run the MRT for some reason, then I think just those big five you just mentioned there, those would be great. Just pull up those for a few weeks even and see how a person feels. Now, other ones I might look at, maybe if it's an autoimmune condition, you might go autoimmune paleo, right? Maybe do that. Maybe you have a lot of GI symptoms. Maybe you go with a low FODMAP diet and think there. Those might be two that I might pull from if I don't have the other information. But really, I just try to get people to eat just as much as they can. You know, some people can't eat intuitively yet. Eventually, hopefully, they can. They can just listen to their body. But I try to teach them how to fish, you know, how to think through. When you're at the grocery store, I want them to be able to feel like they can navigate that grocery store. Or if they go to a potluck, hopefully be able to navigate that potluck somewhat. You know, I'll avoid some of the landmines there. Teaching them how to think about it so they don't have to call me and ask what they should eat.
Okay. Do FDNs get discounts on the metabolic typing diet?
I'll have to check on that one. I know with the course you do with the course now. I don't know for sure. I shouldn't say. So maybe email support on that one. I'll defer to support
thanks.
On that one. So, yep. Okay. All right, I'm going to put you on mute here, Chris. All right. So about 10 seconds left in the call. Yep, 10 seconds left in the call. Good stuff, guys. Chris, thanks for calling in, man, being my buddy, asking me some really good questions. I think those are super helpful for you guys when you're at the place where Chris is in this. He's been great to speak to. And then, boy, all these graduates, guys, congratulations. Great job. And check out the conference recordings, anything you can do to experience the FTN conference. Highly recommend it. It's going to make a big difference. Really good investment into yourself and into your business. And talk to you guys next week, and have a good one, guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.